wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ, and off we go. Talking about the Rockets to start things off again. Did you see they're going to give out Summer League rings this year?
What?
Yep. Summer League ring.
Who is?
The NBA.
What does that mean?
You win a ring, you win a ring.
Oh, a summer league championship?
Championship.
You playing playoffs?
Does this count when you're going, okay, Hall of Fame, you got a summer league chip?
People will throw it in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wait, so are they going through an entire playoff structure?
They do playoffs. What's her name? Becky won it. Remember? Yeah, you
Becky
go through,
Hammond.
Becky Hammond won a championship.
So they set up a playoff system where once the season is over,
the little tournament is over, then you got an elimination tournament.
Okay.
Or it's cool. Just who has most wins or something.
Yeah, I was watching some of the game yesterday as well. I've seen some all three
is
games.
Is Tari Eason the best player? Is there a chance Tari Eason is going to be the best player in this draft?
In the draft? For the Rockets?
For the Rockets.
Oh, yeah, it's possible.
I guess it is.
It's possible. It's hard. You know, Jabari is so young. I think I read that he just turned 19 4 months ago. Like, he is so young. That's what I was telling my kids. I'm like, let me ask you something. Do you think, we were just talking about sports in general. How many of the players, I said, let's go through, and I named like 10 basketball players. I said, how many of those guys do you think were at their very best when they were 19? Well, the answer is none. Zero of them. There's no chance that any rookie is at their very best when they're 19. It's just not, you know, physically they're not as strong as they're going to be. They're not the body type. They don't have the experience. They don't have the poise. They don't have the skill level. None of that stuff is developed by the time you're 19. I mean, it'll be developed to a certain level, but it's not fully formed. It's not fully developed. It can't be. And so, you know, I think we have to keep that in mind when you're looking at any of these guys. But, you know, that's when, you know, you see what Paolo Banchero did in two games. That's why Orlando said, we're going to shut him down. We've seen what we want. We want to see other guys play.
Yeah.
So they took me average 26-5.
Is he going to win a chip, though?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to win this all-important chip, because once you win that, you don't have to play anymore.
Yeah. No. Well,
the checks come in, and I'm not sure if you have to play.
Well, yeah, I think he's still going to have to play, but you get that.
But you
that
get to
check,
wait until second contract.
Check. I got the chip. Check.
But can't you wait till second contract like Zion?
Well, I don't know that. I don't know anybody wants it. I don't think you should go about it the way Zion did. Zion is one of the only guys in the league. He and LeBron. If LeBron took the first like 3/4 of his career off early on, like Zion did, then he would still get a max deal like Zion. There aren't many guys that have missed as many games as Zion has missed, right? I mean, it's
he's
just
played 80 out of 240.
Right?
Yeah,
he plays about a fourth of the games. So he missed about 3/4 and still got $200 million.
Yeah, and at his press conference said, "I'm committed to New Orleans. This is where I wanted to be. We just needed them to, you know, really make it make sense for us to be here, and now it makes sense."
Yeah. No.
That makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense. You know, for him,
my family was just looking for things to do in the community, and now we found it.
We're able to do it.
$231 million.
Are you going to do anything in the community without $231 million?
I mean, now we can do some stuff in the community, and I think I'm going to try to play a little bit this year. What do you guys think about that? That'd be great, Zion.
Look at me dunking. I can dunk.
Yeah. Look at me dunk. That was the worst PR move ever, to do that dunk in the middle of sitting out a season to show everyone, look, I can dunk.
Look at me.
Everyone's like, hey, how long have you been able to dunk like this?
If you can
while
dunk,
you had this foot injury.
If you can dunk, shouldn't you be jumping around on a basketball court sometime? That'd be great.
But that's it. That's everyone else's problem.
Yeah.
It's not the Rockets' problem.
Listen, Jabari looked good. Jabari looked.
He's already showing in three games that he's getting better. He's playing defensively. He's starting to lock in. Absolutely. I think the Rockets got a good player. I'm not sure he's going to be the best player of the three, like I was thinking previously. I think Banchero's game is more suited for being a number one type of player on a team. But that's the thing. The Rockets already have that. You need Jabari Smith to be a good Rocket. And for the Rockets, what they need is a tough defender, a guy who can bring defense to multiple positions, a guy who can hit open jumpers, who can hit threes. Jabari Smith may end up being exactly what the Rockets need next to Jalen Green. And that's the thing that matters more than anything.
Agreed.
And Chet Holmgren, by the way, I was watching some of him last night, too. I mean, Chet's going to be a good player. All this Chet's a skinny white guy stuff, that's played out. I mean, that's the dumbest argument against the guy being a good player. Chet is a good player. Chet is skilled.
Did you see somebody tweeted it out, just Chet Holmgren's leg, which is skinny, skinny, skinny.
Yeah.
You could see the chew in just his leg, and it said the new NBA logo. This is it. And it
just hey, you know who else looked like that coming out? Tracy McGrady. T-Mac was extraordinarily skinny coming out. Kevin Durant was extraordinarily skinny. You've had players who have been stick thin. Tayshaun Prince was super skinny. You've had guys who have been like, Chet happens to be 7'1", so it's going to be more.
Yeah.
I don't care how skinny. I mean, like I said, he's going to be, you know, he's the guy that you take your shots at and you have fun with. Oh, look at this guy. He's the skinny guy. He's this, that, and the other, because he's the designated target. So people will make fun of him. And then what's going to end up happening is he's going to average, kind of like when people were cracking at Yao when he first came in the league, then he's going to average over 20 a game. He's going to average, you know, right at 9 to 10 points. He's going to lead the league in block shots. And
yeah.
He's going to shoot well from three. And it's like the fun and games will be over. I mean, he's going to be a pretty good player. He's highly skilled, and highly skilled players, you know, they tend to be good NBA players.
Yeah.
I think all three of these guys are going to be good players. But I'm not 100% sure that the NBA team, the NBA draft didn't get it right. Banchero, Holmgren, Jabari Smith. They may have gotten it right, the draft.
I don't disagree right now. We'll see. I mean, Jabari.
Super, super early. And
once
you
know
again,
what? Now, we all wanted Paulo, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's
well,
into this thing that it was a real possibility. But if you had your druthers, if you had the number one overall pick, I would have taken Paolo. You'd have taken Paolo.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they did it right. They did the right thing. We all thought, well, it's going to be Holmgren. It's going to be Jabari.
Well, he looks,
whatever.
He looks the part. He's the creator. Yeah, he didn't play defense. But once again, what matters most is building your team. I know this has turned into, we turn everything into individual battles and individual lists and who are the top three players from this draft. Let's redraft the 2015 draft. And you do that. But at the end of the day, what's best for the Rockets? You know what's best for the Rockets? Getting a guy that will finally add some defense to the team and some threes.
You know, and somebody said, wait till the way Tari plays defense, the way Jabari plays defense, add Jayshon to the mix.
Add Jayshon, and you know, and honestly,
it's going to be pretty small.
Roosh Williams had a great video. I don't know if it was his or someone else's, but it showed the defensive intensity of it compared early in the season versus late in the season for Jalen Green, and it was way different. Like Jalen defensively, and there are metrics that show the same thing, he was a much better player at the end of the year. I think what they need badly is to get off to a start where they win some games early. You know, don't get off to a 2-11 start. Don't do that. Get off to a start even at 500 where you get a little taste for winning early on so that some of the things that led to wins become contagious. You know, whether it's getting on the ball for loose, getting on the ground for loose balls, whether
which
it's
he's diving
intensity.
In the fourth quarter of a summer league game.
I'm not worried about Jabari.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping is that feeds into other people. You want that osmosis to kick in.
Right. You know, we'll see that kind of energy that he brings. It'll be interesting to see if he can bring that to an NBA team as a young player like that. He's going to have to play well early on to get that kind of respect from the guys.
Yeah.
And you know, for them to, if he's that kind of a leader, we'll find out. We'll find out whether or not he can do that as a young guy. 713-780-3776. Your Astros were off last night. They are back on against the Angels. Do you know what today is? And I got goosebumps.
Well, it's not Thursday yet, so I don't know.
It's the one-year anniversary of six runs in the ninth to beat the Yankees.
Oh, wow.
July 12th.
Yeah, that was July 12th? How do you know that date?
2021.
Did you see it?
I was on Twitter earlier.
Oh, and somebody showed it to you?
Well, no, they said on this day.
Well, wait, when's officially All-Star break?
It's coming up this week, Sunday.
But that
you got
was,
the call? Of okay, let's
But hold on a second. I thought the 12th was a Sunday. I thought the 12th was the day into All-Star break.
It was.
It's this much later this
year?
Yes,
we didn't.
Well, we're coming off a COVID year. Oh, we also had lockout.
Yeah, but that's not.
Is that not playing into it at
that's
all?
That's not playing into it, no. For whatever reason, the All-Star game is a week later this year.
Five days later.
It's one day, yeah, right. So here's the call. Altuve, with two runners on, down by two against the Yankees a year ago today.
Jose tries one. Deep to left field. LoCastro looks up. You've got to be kidding me. Sixth run. Bottom half of the night. Altuve's done it again. A three-run home run for the second time this year against Chad Green.
I don't know, but that one kind of gave me a buzz, TK.
I kind of gave me a buzz, TK. I honestly got goosebumps.
It moved, TK. It moved. It's moving.
Right now.
It's actively moving as he circles the bases, TK.
I literally got goosebumps watching it.
And
I knew what the outcome was going to be.
I know.
That was.
You already knew how the show ended.
But I've forgotten. Toro was a part of that. McCormick was a part of that. They just destroyed
Toro. I forgot about Toro.
Yeah, and then Toro.
Was it Toro for Graveman or Toro for Maton? It was
for
Toro
Graveman.
For Graveman, right?
Graveman.
Yeah, who did we trade for Maton?
Maton, we got Zaner. By the way, there's Zaner Diaz, who's down, the catcher down in Sugarland right now.
Yeah.
Might be the best player in that trade. We got Miles Straw.
We gave up Straw for Maton.
For Maton and Zaner Diaz. And so, this is going to be fun. You got Luis Garcia against Noah Syndergaard. Now, Noah Syndergaard isn't the same guy that he has been. He doesn't have the same. But you got Javier against Otani tomorrow.
Looks way worse for Noah.
And then Framber. Yeah. Framber's going to get the start, and then he's going to be able to pitch in the All-Star game because he'll be on a bunch of rest. And in the last game, 7:07. It's an earlier game in Los Angeles. It's a 7:07 game here. 8:35 games, the first two games. So, and then they come home for Oakland, Urquidy, Verlander, and Odorizzi. So, it's coming down to the All-Star break. The guys deserve a break. The guys have been awesome. I just hated last night that there's no game. It's like, what do I do now? You don't get to watch the Astros. It kind of sucks. The way that they've been playing, I don't think you don't want any days off. I mean, it's good, clean fun for the whole family. And Garcia and Syndergaard tonight should be pretty good. We'll find out. You know, this Astros team, it doesn't matter. It's Ohtani. It's Syndergaard and Ohtani. You know, normally that would be like, holy crap, you're facing those two guys. No big deal. Whatevs. These guys don't care. It's 7:13 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Did you get goosebumps? Did you just get goosebumps? If you didn't, then I don't. Then you're not alive.
It's so weird. It was to prevent a sweep at home to the Yankees, and it was. And I'm not disagreeing with how exciting the moment was, but because Altuve also did that against Aroldis Chapman in 19. So I mean, it's Altuve had a way of ruining the Yankees, and I remember how exciting it was. It's just weird that in the context of things, it was to avoid a sweep at home, like you. You hadn't done anything special against the Yankees. In fact, the game before, Gerrit Cole had dominated you. I mean, he had really dominated you. But it was just the preventing the Yankees from sweeping you at home was just such a big deal at that time. I'm trying to pull myself back to, you know, remember what it was like. And it was just so strange that we were that excited about avoiding a sweep.
Well,
but it's more than that. It wasn't about avoiding a sweep necessarily. It's about the Yankees not being our daddies.
In the short term. Because they'd beaten us 4-0 and 1-0.
Yeah.
The Astros had not scored. And then they're up 7-2 in the ninth of that game, and for them to come back and show those kind of nuts. Now, earlier, before, they had played in New York, and they beat Cole. Well, they didn't beat Cole. They actually beat Green, and it was Jose Altuve. They avoided the sweep in New York as well, and they came back to win that final game when Cole was the starter. And that is what boosted them. They were 15-15 at the time. 15-15, a 500 team. And then they went on a run in which they won. I mean, they just went on a ridiculous run. After 15-15, they went 32-13, which was just phenomenal. 32-13. That catapulted them, that win over Cole that day in New York, which is why I'm still torn on which was the bigger win. It had to be the one right before the All-Star break, though. That was just so much fun. 713-780-3776.
I can tell you're hyped up right now because of that.
I am. I'm telling you, beating the Yankees, it's just that's the most. Is there, okay, when we come back, are there bigger wins? Let's talk, biggest wins. What are the biggest wins here? We'll talk about it on the other side right here.
Each team.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about my hair. I was just on with Nate Griffin over on Channel 26, and he's commented before. He's like, Johnny G, with the slick back look. I'm like, Nate, stop already, okay, because I'm married. And I have to say that a lot to a lot of people, okay? Stop with the compliments about the hair. But the reason that this is all happening with the hair thing, and I'm getting so many comments, is because of Doc Linville. And if it wasn't for Doc Linville, then it wouldn't be happening to me all over the place. Like, hey, relax a little bit, will you? All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com, and you're going to see for yourself that it is the best. It is awesome. The whole procedure is just so easy, the process is simple. I'm in the chair for 4 hours, and 8 months later, I've got hair. I mean, it just is sensational. I did it the other way before. I was going to do the advertising for another company. And boy, they cut the back of your head. And you want to talk about pain and blood and all over. And it was just awful. This was a much easier, better process. You're looking for that process and you want results as well. It's at 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Concept, man, Tony giving us the business. Says, oh, the Mount Rushmore of wins, of first half wins. Okay.
It is July.
Hashtag summer radio row.
That's right. It is July.
So, honestly, okay. A win over the Yankees or a win over the Dodgers? A series win over the Yankees or a series win over the Dodgers?
Man, that is a good one. That's a good one because those pricks.
What? You didn't say something ugly.
Man, I hate those guys. I would say.
I don't know.
You know, I'm tempted to say the Dodgers because, I mean, we see the Yankees more frequently.
We're their dad.
We've only battled against the Dodgers one time. I mean, it's only been one matchup against the Dodgers. So I think it has to be the Yankees. I'd love to get one against the Dodgers, but realistically, it's the Yankees. Because you see them every year, you see them in the playoffs. It's the Yankees. The Yankees are the team that you want to beat. You love. Now that's just a personal aside. Like you know when the guy from Taken, when Liam Neeson, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to stuff your privates into your mouth and whatever.
Whoa,
he says.
Wow.
Wow. Well, whatever wow. He says. You know he's a
yikes.
Well, he says stuff.
He
like
doesn't
that.
Say stuff like
I'm going
to
take you and you'll take my daughter and I'm going to
pizza
touch
oven.
Oh no! This is a better one. You remember Heat, Robert De Niro, and
yeah,
and so Robert De Niro,
And she got a great ass.
Yeah, that's right. That's Al Pacino said that. And you got your head all the way up.
Yeah.
Right. Like, okay, I can tell that you just ad-libbed that line.
Right.
But so Robert De Niro in Heat, in the movie Heat, 1996, Michael Bay, Michael Mann, whatever. You guys have to see it if you haven't seen it. One of the great bank heist scenes of all time. Surround sound, just tremendous scene. Anyway, he's getting over, right? Robert De Niro has gotten his heist taken care of. He's got the girl. He's good. Everything's going to be good. He wins. But there's this one guy who screwed him over early in the movie named Wengro. And he's so pissed off about Wengro. And he's got a chance and he finds out where Wengro is. But like all he's got to do is like, leave him alone. I'm just going to keep going. I beat Al Pacino. I beat the system. I got another caper under my belt. It's all good. But he has to veer off. He has to veer off. I feel like the Astros, the Dodgers are Wengro, and the Astros are Robert De Niro in the movie Heat. And it's like I wouldn't mind. I know it's not something you want to keep your eyes on the American League prize. But man, it just feels good to veer off and just go and just go Wengro the Dodgers.
Yeah,
just get off the, like, you know what? Before we go over there, let me take this quick trip over here.
Yeah.
And pummel the Dodgers. That would feel great. But realistically, the caper is the Yankees. The Yankees is always the caper because it's the American League. The Dodgers are just the Wengro that you want to
veer off and beat
them. Yeah, veer off and
Yeah. Like in the scene in the bar. In Goodfellas, where they just beat the snot out of him until, you know, and Robert De Niro's kick him in the head, you know?
Yeah,
Him here. When, you know, hey, keep him here. Keep him here, that one. You want to beat the Dodgers like that.
Yeah.
Is there somebody for, I mean, yeah, you want to beat the Cowboys, but is there somebody for the Texans that you're
I would say, personally, it's the Colts. Because the Colts were your daddy for a long time early on.
Yeah, but it's not payback now that Peyton's gone. If Peyton was still there.
No, but it's still the organization that has, I think, the best winning percentage against you. You would think it's the Titans.
Might be the best winning percentage against the team in NFL history.
Yeah, maybe. The Patriots are another one that most people are going to say the Patriots. But you're not even anywhere near there. There's no rivalry, but you don't play in the division. You've only played them sometimes.
But again, if Brady was still there and you beat him, now that says
something. I think it's the Colts. They're in the division.
I think it's the Cowboys.
It's either the Colts or the. It could be. I mean, it could be. That's the easy one. Is that like the Dodgers, where you're veering off to play the Cowboys because it's in the state? You might be right. But there was a time where Houston started coming on, and they were all of a sudden on a similar footing with, you know, they were competitive with the Colts, and the Colts were the top dog for a long time. And
yeah, but you, in the playoffs, you kept facing the Patriots and getting your ass handed to them.
Shouldn't it be the Titans? It should be the Titans.
It's just the Titans. I mean, you went and beat them last year at the Titans.
I know, but it should be the Titans. Realistically,
I mean,
it should be Ravens. And I don't know if it's Ravens. Okay, but listen,
did it move? No, you beat the Titans at the Titans. When you beat the Yankees, it moves.
Well, because the Yankees are this vaunted, really more like the Cowboys, historical franchise. So probably, yeah, I'd say you're right. I'd say it's Cowboys.
Got to be the Cowboys.
I'd say it's Cowboys. And you only play the Cowboys. You only play the Cowboys once. Every, 4 years? It's like a World Cup.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you barely see them.
Competence.
Well, no, that's not true. You can play them more often depending on, you know, how the – it just so happens that's how it usually works out.
If they finish fourth in their division too.
Yeah, makes it easier.
Competence is the Texans' biggest rival. Okay. Yeah, that's not – I mean,
that's
goes without saying. And then the Rockets, is there any win that you
– It's always been Utah Jazz. You know, things change, times change, but nothing has ever. There's a generation would say Warriors, and there's a generation would say Jazz. That's really the only two answers that there are. I don't think the answer is Dallas. I don't think the answer is San Antonio. San Antonio might be for some people, but the only two answers that I think you have are it's either Golden State Warriors because of the Harden era, or Utah Jazz because of everything before that.
And they're still together. Yeah. Like I said, if Peyton was still there, if Tom Brady was still there, that would mean a hell of a lot more. Now, there are shells of the organization.
I think right now, your answer, right now, historically, the answer has been easily the Jazz. I don't know. There's going to be a generation of Rocket fans and incoming fans who don't realize we hated the Utah Jazz.
Well, yeah, but that's 20 years ago, dude. I mean,
we hated the Utah Jazz.
No, that's going on 30 years.
No, do you not remember the Utah Jazz? There was racial commentary. Vernon Maxwell brought that back up.
That's 30 years ago.
No, it just was in 2018. He brought that up. I was in Belize when the Rockets were playing the Jazz in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, he was bringing that up. And remember somebody slapped down, who was it? Was it Harden? No, Harden slapped down a phone from a Utah Jazz fan who was recording him at Toyota Center. It's been Jazz more recently than you think. And the Rockets were still beating the Jazz in the playoffs, but I think Golden State has surpassed for most fans now just because, I mean, we can look at it historically, but right now you want to beat the best, and Golden State's the evil empire.
I don't remember. Well, I mean, has this iteration of Rockets, they never beat Golden State. I mean, since James,
they beat them, but
game four.
Yeah, they've won games, but it's not been.
Have they?
Nothing that. Oh, yeah.
Since
James?
Since James was here,
Oh, no. This team who doesn't win ever?
Ever, right.
The team that was the worst team and the third worst team?
Yeah. That team.
No, they don't.
Wait, you played them really, really well, and Steph had to have a miracle comeback one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they play them fairly well, but No, but with James, they could beat them in a regular season. They just had a hard time. They couldn't beat them in a playoff series.
No. All right, so that was our Mount Rushmore of teams to beat by our teams. What about the Cougs? What's their best win?
Biggest rival.
Best win. What would make you, if beating the Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Beating Texas. In anything.
Yeah, but they don't.
They don't play them.
They don't play them, so I can't say
that. Well, how about coming up now, these next couple of years?
Cincinnati?
No, now that you're going to get to the Big 12, that's going to be, and hopefully Texas will be
there.
Well, they might be there before a year.
By the time you get in?
Yeah, they might be there still.
Okay, are you in the Big 12 this year?
No.
Okay, Texas won't be there next year when you get in.
Oh, they might be. We'll see. Depending on the buyout. Depending.
We'll see.
It'll be great.
Here's why I don't think they are. I think USC and UCLA moving is expediting everything now. They need it. I think all these conferences are going to want to say,
It's funny that you say that because there is some news on that front, and we'll do it on the other side. But first, we're going to talk about some insurance.
Get your money right. One of the best ways to do that is start cutting in a lot of areas. But I don't want you to cut. I want you to get great service and pay less for it. So the best way to do that is to go find competitive rates, right? In anything you're doing, whether you're shopping for a car, an energy provider, well, certainly homeowners insurance. And that's just one of those areas you don't really think about it, right? Homeowners insurance, you're usually going to bundle. We're going to do homeowners. We're going to do car. We're going to get a bundle. Bing, bang, boom. There we go. We're good. Well, but this is the thing. With homeowners insurance, did you know that you can actually get the very best rates when you text the word money to 232323? What that does is it starts TGS Insurance going through their algorithm and their aggregation of A-rated insurance companies. You're going to send them your address. They'll text you back. You send your address. And then within 15 seconds, you're going to have a firm quote that's texted to you. And you can compare that right there. Go to your website that shows your homeowner's insurance and then take a look at what TGS Insurance just texted you and take a look at the differences. And what you're going to find is that the average savings annually is about $900. So $900 back in your pocket. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you're one of those Richie Riches, but I'm taking that money and I'm doing something with it. I'm putting it somewhere else where I've got bills, and that could be you as well. Get great A-rated insurance without sacrificing your service, and yet you can save up to $900, or actually much, much more than that. The average savings is $900. Text the word money to 232323. That's tgsinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening.
listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're talking about the big conferences, as a matter of fact. But first, we were just talking about who's your arch rival. Okay, and we had for the Texans.
Who would they most like to beat? And you're right, Cowboys are who you'd most like.
Most want to beat the Cowboys. Yeah. Screw the Cowboys. Hate the Cowboys.
In basketball right now, Utah, it's the Warriors.
Utah Warriors, one of those two. In baseball, it's the Yankees and the Dodgers. Longhorn Scott has the answer to who the Cougs.
Wait, that's not his team? How would he know?
He knows. He's from the city. He knows all about the Cougs.
Okay.
All right, so who, Longhorn Scott, do the Cougs, who's their biggest rival?
Guys, first of all, love to hear you talking college football. And, you know, it's getting to be that time of year. But, and candidly, though, I'm a little embarrassed that, you know, your average listener knows more about what's going on in the local scene than y'all do. It's pretty obvious. And I would, it may be a coin flip. I'm not going to tell you I know which one it is, but it's one of either of these two. And by the way, both of these teams will average more fans than U of H anyway. That's what pisses them off. But it's either Katy High or Galena Park North Shore. I don't know which one.
That's not.
But one of them is definitely U of H's rival.
Okay. Put him on hold.
Cougar. Is this a Cougar?
Put him on hold. Put him on hold, RJ.
Reference. That's all.
Put him on hold.
Katy
High, Galena Park, or whatever. I don't even. Is
North Shore.
He said North Shore. They're not
Galena Park, North Shore.
Oh, is that the name?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it's not just North Shore.
It's, well, they're in Galena Park. That's why.
Okay.
Yeah, that's. John Kay has built a wonderful, wonderful program there, and of course Mike Johnston, and then, and since then it's been Katy's been unbelievable. They're not rivals of U of H, Longhorn, Scott. Okay, who's the Longhorns? Who's the Longhorns rival right now?
Well, Kansas is a huge
rival. TCU, they can't get back. Kansas beats their ass in football. TCU's been beating their ass for how long now? Who's Texas's? I mean, I don't even think. Don't you have to beat TCU sometimes to be their rivals? Because you haven't beat them at all lately.
Well, Kansas has been a real bugaboo.
Yeah.
It's been a real tough.
It's like they're 500 game against Kansas over the last 6 years or so.
Or last 3 years, they're less than.
Less than 500.
Wasn't it? When was the time that they gave the running back who got like 50 carries but fumbled at the end of the game? You know, who was with the Texans.
Who? From Kansas?
No. I'm forgetting his name for a second, but. Freeman?
Foreman?
Yeah, Deontay Foreman. He was, that was that game that they lost, and then his dad went off on Tom Herman, the Texans, on Twitter.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this probably isn't great for recruiting.
No, it's funny. I thought Foreman was going to be done after he was with the Texans, and he's done okay.
Yeah,
he's done a nice job.
No, he has.
Yeah, I mean, that's one. Oh, wow, we're talking about the one Texas guy in the NFL. Well, non-kicker. I mean,
yeah.
If you're a non-kicker, chances are you're not going to Texas and getting into the NFL.
Yeah, but if you're a kicker, though.
If you're a kicker, holy crap. The greatest kicker in the game came from Texas.
Yeah, if you're an offensive lineman, not so much.
No. But yeah. Kansas probably, that's a big win. That's a huge win. You think like 6-3 is like rioting and stuff if they beat Kansas in football? You think they're...
Boy, I hope not. I mean, you're going to the SEC. I don't know if you're going to be storming fields when you beat Vandy.
Mm. Well.
I got a feeling the jokes
may... If that's the first win...
I think the jokes are going to dry up pretty quick because of the recruiting classes.
Yeah, no.
I was talking to... As a matter of fact, that's the guy who handles Quinn Ewers, his NIL stuff. We were talking a little bit. I said, what's the deal with Quinn Ewers? He goes, easy. He goes, he's going to play 2 years and be gone. Then he'll be the first pick of the draft. That's what's going to happen. And he goes, Arch Manning's going to sit. He's going to play in high school this year. He's going to sit for a year, and then he takes over. I said, well, what if your guy Quinn needs to stay another year? Looks like Arch is going to be sitting a second year. He's going to have to transfer. So, okay.
All right. Wow.
All right. I guess that's how it works.
You know, the league that Arch plays in, you know, I don't know that it's the best competition. I know Arch is Arch, and
it's not the best competition.
Not, you know, so
not only that, I saw what his stats were for the playoffs. Oh, gross! He threw for 54 yards. It was not good.
Well, did you see though? In 7-on-7 this week, he dominated.
He
was awesome.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So there.
How'd the pass rush go?
No, you got to just get rid of it in 4 seconds or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and then he didn't have to throw over any guys or nothing like that. Yeah. But he was outstanding. He was really, really good. Joey wants to respond to Longhorn Scott. It's always something we have to do. What do you say, Joey?
Yeah, man, I wanted to respond because, you know, Scott comes in, he comes swinging it around. He always likes talking about the Cougs. But let me tell you something. I worked on that South End Zone project they had, you know, the real fancy scoreboard and everything, the suites from the South End Zone.
Right.
He's got to keep the Cougs' name out of his mouth until they pay their bills. Let me tell you, these guys, I mean, they owe me. They're almost going on their second season with that South End Zone. They owe me about $200K still. So keep the Cougs' name out your mouth so you can teach Del Conte or whoever to scratch a check to his contractors and actually pay his bills. So,
wow.
That's all I got to say.
You're calling them Longhorns.
Just watch their mouth.
Deadbeats.
He's calling them deadbeats. Wow! Look what happened, Scott.
Scott, how'd
you didn't
that
know
taste?
You didn't know we were gonna have contractors calling your university and your AD.
Did you ever see the overhead view of that South? What they did? Did you see what it looks like? Have you ever seen that?
Well, I've been there.
Yeah, no. But did you ever see the overhead view of that addition in the South End?
No.
Zone?
Why?
You never saw that?
No. Why? What is it?
It looks like a uterus. You've never seen that?
No, I'm Googling now.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Go Google Longhorns Football Stadium in uterus.
It's Daryl K. Royal at
whatever
Earl
the,
Campbell
the 40 names
slash
it has.
Vince Young.
No, it has it.
Joe Jamel Stadium.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Longhorn Stadium, and it does. It looks like that, and I don't like that. The kids are on their way to school, right? But the bad kids are on their way to school, but still, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The summer school kids.
Uh huh.
I'm telling you.
Really? You think that's? Yeah. Oh, I see. The way it looks like a Longhorn.
Well, yeah, but it.
Yeah, I see what you. That's a Longhorn. That's an actual Longhorn. You can see it.
Yeah, it also looks like. Yeah. Doesn't it? It doesn't to you.
Well, this is an
everybody
artist.
Says
it's an artist rendering.
I mean, this is a. Yeah. I mean,
you know, here's why Texas needs to win right now. You know why they really need to win?
To stop the jokes.
Because it's easy. Like, it's hard to make jokes about Alabama when they're beating the crap out of you all the time. When they're slaughtering you all the time when you play them and you know they're literally your father, or Georgia now, you can't really make those jokes. Now, I know what a uterus looks like, and I know what University of Texas Longhorn looks like.
Uterus.
But the jokes stop when, like, it's not funny when they are embarrassing you in front of your friends and family members. But Texas can't do it. Texas loses to Kansas. Texas needs the jokes to stop.
Yeah, right.
They really do. Like, it's too easy to make jokes about, look at their uterus stadium.
Right. Like, well, maybe Del Conte's not paying them because it looks, instead of a Longhorn, it looks like a uterus. Did you mess that up?
Joey, did
is
you
that
do that?
What the problem is?
Yeah, look, no. Let Joey get paid.
Pay that man his money.
How are they not paying their bills?
A couple hundred K.
I don't know what to tell you. Money's slow to come in. I don't want to hear that. Before you know, he's going to be choking Chris Del Conte.
Quinn Ewers just got $5 million. You can't pay
$200,000. He's going to be choking Chris Del Conte with a phone cord, and his hair piece is going to flop to the side.
Well, he doesn't
like
have
Maury.
A hair piece,
well,
per se.
Well, Maury did, and you look what happened to him. He got choked before Jimmy Conway let him go.
The NFL draft is the Longhorn
rival.
Is
Joey going to be holding Del Conte over the balcony like Suge Knight did to – who was that? It was was it Eminem? Who did Suge Knight? No, it was Rob Van Winkle. It was Vanilla Ice said that's what Suge Knight did to him, held him over the balcony by his ankles.
Jackie loves Longhorn Scott calls.
Does he?
Yeah. Good. No, Jackie says, Ed, please tell him to call again. I love when he comes on. He just loves that. Jackie loves that. Jackie's an Aggie, too. It's surprising that he would love Longhorn Scott the way he does. Here's the thing. We didn't even get to the SEC and expansion, and we'll talk about it on the other side right here because of Longhorn Scott. He derailed the program. How about that Longhorn Scott derailing the program? How about this? Let's talk a little Kinetics right now.
QC Kinetics, if you have been derailed because you cannot be as active as you once were because you're in so much pain, maybe activity level, you're not even worried about that. You're just worried about the pain level that you're dealing with. Well, it's because your joints, you know, you've got tissue that is frayed and it's a lot of it is missing, whatever the case may be. I'm just telling you right now, QC Kinetics can make an enormous difference in your quality of life. They've been doing it for years, and they can continue to do that. And they're right here in Houston. I'm talking about new therapies, advanced, all-natural, regenerative treatments. And it's not only going to give you relief, it's got a shot to help you regrow. How would you like to do that? Regrow tissue and regenerate tissue in your joints that can help relieve your pain symptoms. It's really happening. It's been happening for athletes for years. The same thing can happen for you now. And this is a way for you to avoid the shots, avoid the surgeries, avoid that downtime, avoid the pain medicine and the drugs. You can do that with an all-natural therapy that takes your own growth properties and it's highly concentrated. It's inserted back into the joints. And what happens is you will see growth in many instances, and that is a huge game changer. Remarkable new treatments increase mobility, decrease pain, and help restore your tissue. Give them a call today. Set up your free consultation. What do you have to lose except your pain that you're suffering on a daily basis? Knee, hip, ankle, back. 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So yesterday just came out. SEC presidents reportedly want to keep the conferences at 16 teams. Now, there's a good chance Oregon is left out in the cold here. Oregon and Washington. Can you see the ACC going after Oregon? I don't know.
ACC?
ACC.
No.
Well, the Big Ten My is God. Playing in Los Angeles.
Every game would be a six-hour
Penn
flight
Penn State
for them.
Has to travel all the way.
I know. But Oregon is literally
Rutgers, too. You know how far Rutgers to LA
every
is?
Every ACC matchup is even further. Every single road game is like the longest. It's just, you can't do that. It makes no sense.
Well,
it's either Big Ten.
There's not a lot of this that makes a lot of sense.
The only thing that makes sense, honestly, none of this, unless the Big Ten is going to expand, the only thing that makes any sense is here's what's going to happen. The SEC may take on Clemson. They may take another team, Florida State, for example. And then it's going to turn into, okay, that's it. And the Big Ten may take a couple more, and then it's going to turn into everyone else is going to have to figure it out. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to have Mountain West, Big 12, and Pac-12. At some point, those three conferences, there's going to be an amalgamation of a power conference inside of that. Big 12, Pac-12, and Mountain West. That's the next thing that you have. And really, from a regional standpoint, that's west of the Mississippi. You're basically putting together the biggest and brightest of west of the Mississippi that's left standing. That's the only one that makes any sense. ACC is just too far along the coastal area for a team like Oregon or Washington and Pacific Northwest.
No.
It makes no sense. The expenses would be... And the disadvantage of traveling three time zones.
USC and UCLA have opened a door for that because it makes no sense for Penn State and Rutgers to be playing in a conference with USC. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay. So the SEC says, the presidents say they want to stand pat. If they want to stand pat, now we've got, I'm going to tell you, I hope that happens because as is, if they do the pods, with Texas and Oklahoma in one, Texas A&M and LSU in another, Auburn and Alabama.
Why do you think there's going to be a pod?
Because I think there's going to be four pods, And because it makes scheduling right.
It makes scheduling right, but I have not heard actually. I've heard people bring this idea up, and I love it, but I've never heard the SEC even,
we'll see.
Even consider
we'll see it. If they do it. We'll see. Anyway, the way that the SEC has done it for years, though, it has been so unfair. LSU's cross rival into the East is Florida. They got to play Florida every year, while Alabama has to play Tennessee every year. It's unfair. It's stupid. It's not a level playing field. What Nick Saban said this, and I highly disagree. Some people are going to be capable of doing certain things. Other people are not going to be able to capable. Bottom line is we'll lose competitive balance, which everything we've always done in college football is to maintain competitive balance. If there's one sport that lacks competitive balance the most, it's college football.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same four or five teams in the playoff every single year. There's no such thing as competitive balance. And he says this. He says, we are going to you're going to create more haves and have-nots. There will be less good games. I think it would be impossible for there to be less good games in college football right now. Every week when you look at the schedule, you look and you go, where's the good game? I mean, what game do I have to watch this week? In the NFL, you've got that every week. Oh, my goodness, look at Brady is playing Drew Brees or there's something. There's a good game. The 49ers are playing the Rams, whatever the case may be. College football lacks that.
Well, because
it lacks that tremendously.
Well, you don't have to have that. It's just a schedule. You don't really have to have that. It's not going to change anyone's viewing habits. You're going to still view it the same. TV ratings are going to be, same.
Well, no, when two good teams are playing each other, it means something.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, your championship is still going to be your championship. And college football is not fundamentally going to lose fans based upon what you're talking about. I want to make sure I say that first. However, if you are going to run like a professional league, which now you are, you're paying your athletes, you are the only thing that matters is the highest paid coaches, the highest paid. It's an arms race at all these different college campuses. If you're going to act like a professional league, which you are now, you're no longer college. You're just a worse level of pro football. Now, the TV rights deals do need to include more matchups and better matchups because they're paying for it. And they're going to say, hey, we're going to give you all these money super conferences. We need to make sure that we get the very best team.
Well, absolutely. And, well, listen, look, the addition of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC, I feel like has got the possibility of being one of the biggest and best things to happen in college football. If they do the pod system and Texas is playing Florida every other year, they're playing Georgia every other year, they're playing the Tennessees and the Arkansas and the A&Ms. Texas would have to actually play A&M every other year,
uh-huh.
And they would every four years they would have a home game. It would mean it would be tremendous for now. You still got your Vanderbilts in there. Kentucky has come up and done a nice job. Missouri, there's still some stinkers in there. But every week in the SEC, there will be a really, really big game, and that means something. That's why the NFL is so good, is because, well, the star power, obviously. But good games in the regular season. The only thing that you get up for now is Alabama-Georgia in the regular season. If they play in the regular season, which they rarely do. But you in the SEC championship, you get ready. You get up for the SEC championship game and the playoff. Otherwise, there's games that mean
something. Then be better. What can college football, them teams need to be better. What do you want to happen? Teams got to need to be better. Like, finally, Michigan was better.
Well, but Nick's saying this will ruin competitive. There is no competitive balance now.
Right.
What is he talking about?
Well, anytime Nick speaks negatively about something, I would say 70% of the time it's because an advantage is taken away from him.
Right.
That's just.
But I don't know what disadvantage would there be with a super conference for Alabama. They'd still be the best team.
I have no idea. Yeah. Because Nick is. My point is, you can't. Competitiveness is built on success from other teams, and there's nothing that can be. You can't legislate other teams to be successful. That's up to you guys to beat Alabama or Georgia now. Oklahoma's figured out a way to get there. At least they did under Lincoln Riley. Ohio State's figured out a way to get there a lot. Dabo has figured out a way Notre Dame has figured out a way. Well, it's just being Notre Dame and having people give them the benefit. But, you know, there's six different teams, and then Alabama, Georgia, they've been there a ton. There's no reason that somebody from the Pac-12 shouldn't be there. There's no reason that Texas shouldn't have been there over the last several years. But they were just too incompetent. I mean, there's teams that have, they have no, like Florida, there's a lot of teams that have advantages, that have financial advantages that do not get there. And, but anytime Nick talks, how many times we've got to stop this fast play, the fast pace of college football. It's going to end up with a lot of hamstring injuries. He didn't like it because A&M had beaten him with the up-tempo offense and Johnny Manziel. He didn't like all that stuff. He didn't like the zone read stuff. He didn't like, and then all of a sudden he incorporated it, and now he doesn't talk about it anymore. I mean, Nick doesn't like things. He didn't like NIL because other teams are getting some of the five-star, you know, he's taken away one of the NFL advantage, right? The NFL advantage is something Alabama has had. Now that's balanced out by, well, you know what? Yeah, you crank out a lot of pros, but guess what? We now are going to be able to pay our, I'm sorry, not us, people who want to get the kid's face on some pickles and they want to sell his jerseys. You know what? There's at least $100,000 worth of pickle sales that are coming for that kid.
Yep. You don't know. That kid can sell pickles. You don't know.
So you don't know. Now all of a sudden, one of your advantages now.
I might want pickles because
we've countered
that kid's face is on there now.
We've countered your advantage with a $100,000 per year contract pickle advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, good for you being Alabama, but did you hear see all these pickles that this kid's selling with his name, his image, and his likeness? These pickles weren't moving before, and now that he's put his face on these pickles,
now they're
moving like crazy.
You're damn right. If you get associated with big time college football, guess what? People
now
recognize you and they want pickles.
From one warehouse to another warehouse, you know,
the distributor.
Maybe not off of a shelf. Yeah, it's all done behind the scenes. The distributorship numbers are moving.
Yeah.
Well, the sales.
I want those pickles because that kid is putting his name on those pickles.
Now, what if that kid's not any good?
That kid told me eat those pickles.
Now, if that kid's not that good, what about that kid, Graham
Mertz,
or whatever?
Crappy pickles.
Remember Mertz? You going to buy pickles from Graham Mertz?
Okay. What if Baker Mayfield selling, I don't even know what the commercial was, where his house, in his house?
Is that Nationwide or no?
Allstate? Is it insurance?
I think it's. I don't even remember.
I don't even
way
know.
To go, Baker. All I know is,
yeah.
What was it? What was it?
Isn't it Progressive?
It is Progressive.
Progressive.
Yeah, you're right. It's Progressive.
Yeah.
Wow, so, good job, commercials. We don't even know what it is.
And guess what? Baker sucked. Did Progressive make a lot of money off him? Yeah.
Is Baker going
because
to...
Because he couldn't get in.
Are we going to see Baker in Carolina?
Because they changed the lock.
Are we going to see Baker in Carolina where he's there with Sam Darnold and they're doing a book club now?
Maybe. You don't know.
I actually do know. There's 0% chance Baker Mayfield is retained by Progressive. They're like, go back to flow.
Yeah, we got
to
get to flow. 7037803776.
The guy who sold the Mertz NIL deal. Mertz pickles are good. Those pickles sucked when he was throwing four interceptions against Michigan. I spit those pickles on the ground.
Well, that's all right. At least you bought them. That's right. You wouldn't have spit them on the ground if it wasn't for the kid. Here's the deal, and Mertz pickles don't care. You bought them.
Hey, no refunds.
You know what I did yesterday? I bought Coors Lights. We were out at Wildcat, and we were playing, and I had to make sure that I was refreshed. And boy, did I get refreshed yesterday. I got to tell you. Went over.
What do you mean you got refreshed?
Well, if you're going to drink Coors Light, you're going to get refreshed. So I got refreshed. I got Texas chill. Everybody's like, oh, it's so hot. How can you play golf? Guess what? 103, it ain't nothing when you're keeping Texas chill. I ain't worried about it. It's the official beer of 103 degrees. It's the official beer of birdieing 15. It's the official beer of...
Seems very specific.
It is. It's the official beer of everything I do. So it's the official beer of afterwards having to go throwing down a couple and playing some poker. That's what I did. If you're looking for the official beer of keeping Texas chill.
They basically sponsor your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds
Guess
like.
Guess what?
I'm like, all of these things are specifically your life.
This is my NIL, okay? Coors Light. That's what I get, okay? I get Coors Light. Coors Light pays me to go and play golf and play poker. It's what they do, okay? It's a great deal. That's my NIL. I'm keeping Texas chill with cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Do the same.
This is ESPN 97.5.